Okay, so let's try to get through most of Sotta Bhavai we've done. There's a lot more to talk about, but mostly we've been speaking about it. We've been speaking about some of the satellite cases. I think we're in the middle of Mishnah Melech and all of that. So again, so Sotta Bhavai, as we've noted, itself is a very challenging case. Tuma Ke'erva, you know, the fact that, you know, there aren't really Chayvei Lavin, et cetera, et cetera. And then the question was, how about extending that din? And this is a question you could ask Bein le Ravid, Bein le Ra'ah, but especially for the more mainstream views, which is that, you know, there's also an exclusion of Chalitza. There's probably no Zika. So what about extending to the satellite cases of Anusa LeKohen, the two Boel cases, the case of the Boel of the Balitosis, where the Yavam is the Boel, and the case of the Boel of the Mishnah Melech, the Yerushalmi, where it was an ishus between the Boel and the Sota, right? And now the Yavam, the brother, and then the Boel dies. So there was an illegal, but valid kiddushin and or ishus. And now the brother of the Boel, you know, is in line to do a yibum. What happens in that case as well? And of course, we still have to discuss this a little bit more. But and the fourth case, the fourth satellite case, is the case of Safek Sota. To what extent, you know, is the sugya in the beginning of Sota and the sugya here the same or not? Are they, you know, completely the same? That's, you know, the possibility that, you know, is imputed to the Ravid by the Ramban and by the Rush after the Ramban, that basically it's the same sugya, in which case whatever adjustments are made for both, but mostly it's the same. The other possibility, you know, that we're dealing with two different sugyas. If we're dealing with two different sugyas, so there's still an interesting question, and that is, you know, whether or not there is a correspondence between Sotta Bhavai and Sotta Safek, by which I mean there are differences between them, but the, you know, those differences in both directions are accounted for by the by the more obvious differences between Bhavai and Safek, as opposed to the perspective that, you know, if there are differences between Sotta Bhavai and Sotta Safek, you know, those differences don't fall in line perfectly with the obvious skillet between Bhavai and Safek. And that could be, you know, in either direction. It could be that, you know, Safek Sota, you know, is treated as less than a Safek with regard to some issues. Of course, specifically, I'm referring about the I'm referring to the problem of Ptur Tzara and the Rambam Shita, and we'll discuss that. Or that, you know, Bhavai Sota is the one that, you know, goes beyond, you know, just a Bhavai of the Safek. So, in other words, either Sota, Bhavai, and Safek are the same, and that is Mechudash for its own reason, probably because it establishes, you know, a very strong view of Safek Kivadai, which is certainly a factor in Safek Sota, but again, like, how far do you push that? If, you know, we don't take that view, and then the most likely view is to say, as I say, there's a difference between Safek and Bhavai that you would expect. And that isn't necessarily true either. Maybe Safek Sota, you know, even if it's different than Bhavai Sota, goes beyond or goes, you know, or doesn't achieve even as much as Safek Sota. And that's something to consider as well. So these are the cases that we have been looking at. So let me just zero in on a few more points. excuse me. regarding some of these cases first, and then we'll move on to discuss Suffolk Sota, some of the issues, you know, that I am hinting at. So, first of all, in the case of Anusa, let's just, you know, finish off with that for the moment. The just you should be aware that the in we already discussed the Suffolk of the Nebuka Yosef and the treatment of this in the Shulchan Aruch, and in the Mishnah Melech and the different perspectives, and we tried to analyze it. There's an interesting, you know, big question, not just about, you know, technical Tuma Ke'erba, but about, you know, how we understand the institution of Kahuna raising, like, the standards. You know, does it raise the standards and then you have the equivalent, you know, of what you have Baratzon in a regular case? That doesn't, you know, that doesn't seem logical completely. It's certainly not ever going to accomplish the Begida part, you know. In the end of the day, she's still Anusa. But in terms of the, you know, the kilkul of the Ishus, given that this is a more sensitive Ishus, right, that part of it, you know, when you take the, you know, the gabra and the guilt and the, you know, implications of the betrayal part out of it, and you look more at the kilkul ha-Ishus part of it, since this is more sensitive, you know, Ishus to begin with, the standards of kahuna, you know, are in general, and this is an example of it. So then the possibility that, you know, you make that distinction between the chefza shel ishus and the maisa vera or the mered or the begida, the me'ila, whatever you want to call it. So that itself is a very interesting and complicated question. So it's interesting that the... in the Piskei Tshuva, in Sif Katan Hey, I believe in Shulchan Aruch, Kufayin Gimel, so they quote the position of the base mayor, who has like a compromise. You know, it's mostly the, you know, Mefarshim are, you know, trying to figure out whether or not, you know, either technically whether Tumah Ke'erba applies, or, you know, more broadly speaking, as we've been discussing. You know, depends on the Iser Labala or whatever it is. The Beis Meir has an interesting shita where he says that even, where he seems to say that even if generally Sota Vadai is, you know, excluded not only from Yibum but also from Chalitza, you know, that maybe there would be a compromise when it came to Anusa Lakoe. And then Nusa Lekohen, you would say that there's an exclusion of Yibum. Sounds like, you know, at least also there would be an exclusion of Tzara, but that there would be an obligation of Chalitza. So, instead of like formulating it, at least the way that it's quoted, I didn't see the original, but instead of formulating it as a Safek, like we're not sure, like the Mukhi Yosef himself, it's Bistapek, Tzor Chiyu. So you might say, well, if you have a safek, you should always be choleitz, you know, even though you can't be, you know, miyave. But it sounds like what he's saying is more than that, and that is a compromise not out of safek, but a compromise based on the principles that I was just, you know, trying to convey. And that is that the ikar din of tuma baratzon, I'm sorry, the ikar din of tuma ke'erva is something that requires ratzon. And therefore, in the case of Anusa, even though there is an iser labal, nonetheless, you know, that's not going to affect the zika. It's only going to exclude the yibum. So if that were to be true, so it's not just that, oh, the Nebuka Yosef raises a new case. We're not sure. We don't have information. So, you know, we're playing it safe in terms of Psak Halacha. It's a gray area. But that, you know, we're actually breaking down aspects of, you know, Sota Vadai, you know, in the case of a new silicone. Is it up there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
I am Simon, a Seder-based mayor, Shikasa Be'ikr Devrei Hanemuke Yosef, Shaniyah, Tzarapien. Im Kain Shenensa, Yitzricha Tawitza. When he has died, the hapasha to who yama tzrich chowitza given the ikar kara the toma gebe ratzon ktiv. I in mashikas of a tosvus Yevamos Dav Yadav, Dirmas Batsarasov, Hemenduik Lashon Rav, Tarasota Asura, Dahare Iri Bivada Babaiwa, Bahavo, Bahava Lamali, Bahawa Lamar Taras Tameo, Taras Tameo Ozona, El Shabawa Horos Dav Alhamazana Baratzon.
Yeah. So this, to me at least, doesn't seem like it's, or either way, I'm suggesting this is possible, but I think this is what the, sounds like the base mayor. He's not saying, oh, I have a safek, so I'm going to, take the risk out of the psak, and to be cholitz and not be miyavim. It sounds like what he's saying is the ikar din, and the get, so he's quoting the tosis, which is so much a part of like all of these issues as we discussed, the use of the term tumah at the same time, the full tumah ke'erva is maybe only in the lav case, and that too maybe is limited to Ratzon, where you have the Begida aspect. So that's something to think about. The other case, in general, I should also mention that the Noda Behuda in that tshuva, in Evan Ezer Tinyano Simon Kufnun, which again is also extensively quoted by the Pisrei Tshuva here in Kufayin Gimel. So he throws out a possibility that the din of Tumah Ke'erva may be limited also to partners who are, in the parsha of Gittin, in the parsha of Kiddushin, Tzvisas Kiddushin, and that even though the din of Sota may apply, to people with whom there's no Tzvisas Kiddushin, in terms of the Issa Labala and so on and so forth. But the din of Tumah Ke'erva, more specifically, is limited, to that. That's also something to think about when we think about, Tumah Ke'erva, as a broad category. Okay. The other thing, so that's in terms of Nusol HaKohen and a little bit in terms of the Boel. In terms of the Boel cases, we discussed the relationship between the two, the Tosas case and the Yerushalmi / Mishnah LeMelech case. The Mishnah LeMelech himself in the, other case, the case where he, the Yavam, the Boel actually marries the Sota illegally, but the Kiddushin is Chal, also suggests that, you might be Mechalek between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, his take on the Yerushalmi and his, especially in the case of Safek Sota. It sounds like the Mishnah LeMelech is considering the possibility of distinguishing between Vadai Sota and Safek Sota when it comes to that Boel case, number one. But that he is suggesting that in the case of Safek in the Boel case, that maybe you'd be Mechalek between the Yerushalmi, the way he understands the Yerushalmi's treatment, and the Bavli treatment. So that is also something to be aware of, in terms of this issue. Good. I want to take a minute or two to speak about. Before we do that, the other thing that the Mishnah LeMelech raises is he quotes the Ri Galanti. Okay, that's where you saw that.
Yeah.
So, what is that? Or if you could quote that, what does he have? What does the Ri Galanti say? And the Mishnah LeMelech isn't happy with it, but he's quoting it. He has a case. First of all, he tries to present it as a case of tzaras tzara, not only for the boel, but for the ba.
Yeah.
Correct? I mean, the Gemara says on Gimel Beis, the background is, the Gemara says that we don't include, even according to Rav, tzaras sota in the Mishnah, because there's no tzaras tzara. And that's what got, that's what triggered Tosas to talk about the Boel, and so on. Correct?
Yeah.
Good. So the Ri Galanti thought that there is a case of Tzara, in Sota itself, even Labala. And what is that case? You have that?
Yeah, well, the Baal,
so this is where? Where is this? This is... What?
The end of the season.
Yeah, this is the one on Gen Vav Yud Tes. Right, where he quotes. So he quotes at that point. What is it? Where isi b'chidushim arigalanti.
Allah nisuyan disara
Sara Sota Sura, Shehiksha Zelashana, Kashalman the Omar Kidushin Tosh Khadin, the Koshkin Haga, the Lake of Hag, then came Mishkahas La Tsara Sarasa Bisota, Ayade La, Avar Vinasa, Echa, Tsara Sota, Velo Yishacheres Mace, Akka.
So what happened?
Basically,
he went ahead
and married the
Tsaras Sota, right? And there, which was Asur because of Tumah Ke'erva, correct?
Yeah.
He himself had another wife, right? And then subsequently he dies. So basically, what happens is the Yavatsaras Tsara. But the assumption, of course, of the Regalanti is that Tsaras Sota Tumah Ke'erva, which is Asura Liyavam, Kiddushin Artov Simba, even though it's Tumah Ke'erva. So that's where the Mishnah Lamelech himself, go ahead.
It says, the quote of our name is Rune, Dim Avar Vinasa Echav Tsaras Sota,
or Achiv, yeah. Sorry, Soto. If the brother did go ahead and do this, right?
Yeah,
the Ahmana Pachamiziga, Hare Ashes Ach, Lobamaka Mitzah, Shimichai Krisos. Is that Pashut? So again, so what? So this is, of course, a great little, again, a little window, because, again, if you zero in on, you know, the principle of Tumah Ke'erva, you know, so we're basically saying we're treating this like Erva, and we're saying that there's Tsaras, you know, Sota. And we're saying that, let's say, according to the mainstream Psak, forget about the Raibid and the Ra'ah for the moment, and the Safek of the Ramah, right? We're saying that, there's no Chalitza, correct? And that there is Tsaras Sota, meaning all the, you know, we're checking all the boxes of Tumah Ke'erva being taken, you know, literally. You know, and from that point of view, when you have, if you're treating it like Chayvei Krisus, you know, then, then it should be, you know, a situation where there's no Tfisas Kedusha. On the other hand, as we know, you know, it's only Chayvei Lavin, even vis-a-vis the husband and the Sota, and that Chayvei Lavin doesn't even exist, you know, in a Gavra way for sure, between the Yavam and the, you know, Yavama, who is the Sota, right? So Tumah Ke'erva might be a reason that there shouldn't be Yibum, but it's not Chayvei Krisus, it's not even Chayvei Lavin, as he himself, you know, correctly, you know, points out. He says, right, Koshkin Hacha Deleik Alav. You know, there's not even that. Right. So the idea that there could be Tfisas Kiddushin, you know, is possible. What is the Mishnah Lamelech's own take? He doesn't think, because he's taking Tumah Ke'erva seriously, but he doesn't think also that you could have argued with the Mari Galanti by just saying there's no Tfisas Kiddushin because it's Tumah Ke'erva. And it's one of those cases, which is one of the things that we're really interested in. It's one of the, just like there's Tsaras Sota without there being, you know, Eishas Ach, you know, having to invoke Eishas Ach, you know, Shalom B'Mokom Yibum, there's Tsaras Sota simply by virtue of Tumah Ke'erva. Even though that is a virtual halacha, if you want to call it, or a shame erva, even though there's no chayvei krisus and so on and so forth. So in theory, you could have said that alone, you know, determines that there's no zika for that reason. If there's no zika, then there's no tfisas yibum either. But of course, to say that, you know, would be the polar opposite of what Mari Galanti is pointing out, and it would be, you know, a very strong formulation of Tumah Ke'erva, which is fine with me. But, you know, it is Mechudash. So instead, the Mishnah Melech, you know, kind of proposes an in-between. Right, Ezra? So what is the in-between? There's no Zika, right? And therefore, it's not the reason that there's no Zika, that there's no Tfisas Yibum, but etan, it becomes, it reduces into Eishes Achiv, you know, Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, correct? That's what he ends up saying. So this, of course, is always, always interesting. You know, all year long we've been charting, this question. Does something, whether it's, is it Nesra? What about Nesra? What about, Tzara? What about, Eilonis? When do we say that when Lemaisa, right, there is no implementation of Yibum or no Zika, right? When do we say that, that either triggers or it triggers or is because of even, Eishes Achiv Shelo B'Makom, Mitzvah. There's always like a bit of a, kind of a catch-22, involved in that kind of an issue. So that's, either way, that's just an interesting, important idea in the Mishnah Melech. And people have made the suggestion, to tie this comment of the Mishnah Melech. Do you want to say that?
Yeah, he was helping in
Parashas Drachim.
Yeah.
So we've already mentioned that in Parashas Drachim that the Mishnah Melech is mistapek, in which case, the case of Chayve Lavin Viase, which if you assume, is a case of Doraisa, there is Chalitza, and Doraisa, there is no Yibum, right? There's also no Tzara, in that case. But, this is the Safek of the Mishnah Melech in Parashas Strachim, whether or not that becomes, if you were to be up, exactly like the Marie Galanti's case. Let's say you were to defy the Halakha, you're never supposed to defy the Halakha, but let's say you did, right? So we want to know, what is the consequence? What is the, is there a chalos, ishus shel yibum, is there yibum, kinyan yibum, mitzvah yibum, what is there and what isn't there under these conditions? So that is the suffix that the Mishnah Melech proposes there. But of course, it's a little bit, different. There, like here, he's certain that it's eishus achiv shelo b'makom mitzvah yibum. All right, that's because here, there it's Tumah Ke'erva, there's no Zika, there's no Chalitza, right? So it would seem to be a no-brainer. As I said a second ago, I don't think he had to argue based on Eishes Achiv Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah Yibum. He could have just said that, we take very literally, just like we take it literally regarding Tzaras Erva and no Chalitza, so too we take it literally. Where, that there is no Eishes Achiv. Maybe there's no Kares. That, I think, would be impossible to say. Well, that's the other point. We'll get that in a second. There's no Lav. There's no Kares, likely. But in the end of the day, there's still no Tfisas Kim. That's why these cases are so important as litmus, cases, because they really isolate, the factors from each other. So, but, he's not saying that. He's saying, no, it becomes Eishes Achiv, but certainly you can understand it because, these things, if they aren't sufficient, to exclude Tfisas Yibum, we'll call it, or Ishus, but they are, things that go to the heart and core of, an absence of Zika, of this being like a fundamental exclusion, of Yibum. So the idea that, it's Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah Yibum, at minimum, and therefore, again, Marie Galant thinks not. He's not taking Tumah Ke'erva totally, literally. And he's also assuming, that this is a, there's no Eishes Achiv, Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah Yibum either. The case of Asay and the Lav, on the one hand, so you could see why in one case the Mishnah Melech is, certain about it and the other case not. The case of Asay and Lav, as we know, is more mechudash, and that's again why the Minchas Chinuch is not so happy with all of that, and that's a big discussion in the Achronim, because there is Zika in that case, right? So there's no Yibum, but there is Zika, there is Chalitza, there is no Tzara, So it would appear, just saying in that case that it's like, shalobim. What do you mean? It's shalobim, makom yibum, but mitzvah yibum. But that's for technical reason, because ein ase dochalos ase diase. There's no erva. There's no, exclusion of tzara. There's no hafka zika lagabe chalitza. So it's a kind of an interesting phenomenon. Can you have like an iser eishes ach? When you have, zika and chalitza and no p'tur tzara, right? On the other hand, to be fair about it, like what would Marie Galant say? Hard to know. But, what he might say is that, in the end of the day, there is an ase and a lab which impedes the din of ase dochalos ase, and therefore, in that respect, even though the scope of the exclusion, is far more limited in the case of ase v'lav, assuming that doraisa there is a need for chalitza, and certainly there's no tzara, and therefore, in that respect, you can't compare to sota, vadai. But, at least there really is a tangible, iser obstacle, right, to the mitzvah of yibum, and therefore maybe to the kinyan of yibum, as well. But here, in the end of the day, this yavam, and this sota slash yavama, it doesn't appear like there's any violation of anything. It's a din, but there are no isurim obstacles. So you might argue that in that respect, it's less eishasach, not more eishasach. In a similar vein, just to beef up this point for a minute. So people note this in Rashi, as well. Like Rashi in Sota, but this with regard to Suffolk Sota for the moment. Which Rashi in Sota? Anybody? What? And Vava Merala, the top Rashi. Yeah. So what's the background again? The Gemara is looking for different, we read this a little while back. The Gemara is, trying to explain, right, the exclusion of in Suffolk Sota of Yibo. Right, so which is this one, Natan? Amale Abaya, Elameata. What? Is that Abaya? Yeah. Elameata la Acher, right, Lotinase, the Lotistere, Lebese. Right? Yeah? What is that? Okay, so you're not going to force, this woman on, on this unsuspecting, yibum, why yavam? So what does the Gemara say? Amalei, right? Mikaramina nala aleha bal karcha. So Rashi there says, you have it.
Yeah.
Mikaramina la leminsiva bal karcha. Go ahead. And therefore, if you were to impose this, right, it would be yibum. Yeah, balkarcha. Go ahead. So then he just adds v'habekeishes ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. So this is something that caught the eye of the mefarshim, because he didn't have to say that. Number one. He's trying to explain, Rashi's trying to explain why, let's say the person, let's say they want to do yibum, right? The Gemara's really only explaining why you can't, force yibum on the yava. So actually, the Meiri al-Atar in this sugya, basically says that in Achanami, the point is that there's no. There's no forced yibum, but if you wanted to go ahead and be miyabing, maybe that would be permissible. I think you could have said a little bit differently, and that is, that, you know, the fact that there's no forced Yibum means that there's no Yibum, because part of the Hagdara of Yibum is that it's not voluntary. That's an interesting question. Can you have, like, you know, a voluntary Yibum or not? Or whenever there's no Chiyuv Yibum, there's no Chalos Yibum. It's a shiur in, especially, the, you know, Kiyeshu Achim Yachtav, and certainly if you hold Dechuya, you know, then there should always be a Chiyuv, not just a Heter or a Kiyum. And even if you hold Hutra, right, if the circumstances are such that we don't impose or at least L'chatchila require Yibum kodem lechalitza, if we don't, you know, pressure, then the hagdara of Yibum is problematic as well. But Rashi apparently was, that's what I would have said, you know, in addition to the Meiri. Rashi didn't say that. So, other Rishonim might hold that way. There are maybe not three Shitos. But Rashi was trying to explain that, you know, if there is no, similar to what I'm saying, but not, I just don't think you need Eish HaSachiv, you know, Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Who knows? But either way, Rashi is formulating here that Eish HaSach Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. So, of course, this would be a case where even though it's only Safek Sota, where there would be a Chiyuv Kares. Either way, for the Be'iri, it's not true. For what I'm suggesting, it may also, you know, not necessarily be true. You know, even if there's something in between. And but Rashi here does have this formulation, and a lot of the Achronim try to suggest, since they're, you know, not so convinced that it's so easy to trigger Eish HaSach every time Lemaisa or Befoa we don't implement Yibum, that this is something like more, they're trying to explain this is something more fundamental. Okay. But it is still only in a case of Safek Sota. And, you know, it also should be noted, this is a famous issue that the Rambam, maybe. Maybe he means what I'm saying.
The first part of it.
What?
It's hard to read the first part of it if you don't say something like
that. 1 second.
Why should it be that, like, Yibum Kodem Lechalitza is ma'akev, whether Yibum is shy?
I mean, you're saying that maybe he means what I'm saying, which is that the fact, whenever there's no Kedima, then there's just no Chalos Yibum at all. Could be. I don't think people took it that way, but maybe that is. I'm happy with it. I'm not going to argue with you too strenuously. Anyway, there's also this famous, you know, discussion in the Rambam. We have a similar idea that Safek Sota is connected, but I'm not sure if you have to say this, but Safek Sota is connected with Chai Bekrisus, and that is the famous Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, where this is, you know, the Rambam says that, you know, there's a discussion in the Gemara, what is a Zakein Mamre? What constitutes a Zakein Mamre? So it's there are different deos. The Rambam paskins that part of the Hagdara of Zakein Mamre is that the Din Torah, the issue, revolves around, you know, something which is, you know, a death penalty, a Chai Bekrisus / Skila B'mezid kind of an issue. Okay, that's, so these are the Rambams in Perek Dalet. Zeh shechalak al bezen agadol bedavar shechayavin al zdono kares val shigaso chatas. Right, Bain Shahu Hain Osrim Bahu Matir, Bain Shahu Hain Matir Bahu Oser, it doesn't matter, you know, whether he's Mekel or he's Machmir, or he's a Chayv Misa. Even if he says, you know, that he has a Kabbalah and Mirabosa, then they say, you know, it's just Misvara. But these are the parameters of Zakin Mam. Anyways, so the Gemara says, Ein Sar Klomar Im Heimodim, and even v'cheinim chalak aleim b'gzeirim and agzeirim shigazur b'davar shiesh b'shigaz ochatlas udona kares. So then Rambam goes on to try to explain how you could have something that revolves around like a din d'rabbanan, but the effect long term may still be, you know, something which is chayiv kares, and that would be zakin mamre kagon shehitur chametz biyom yadalid benisam b'shashishis. That's a couple years ago we discussed this Rambam when we were doing psachim. right? Oh, asru b'hanam b'shal chamishis, sorry, zakai misa, v'kein kyotze b'zeh, and so on. Then the Rambam in Halakha Beis elaborates, right? Echot shenechlu b'dover shechayov and al zdona karas ol shegos ol katos, o b'dover ha-maybe l'idei dover shechayov and al zdona karas ol shegos ol katos, etc. And then he gives example. Keitzad, nechko b'ishazu im hi erva im lav. Anyway, the Rambam gives a number of examples, and one of the examples that he gives is the chain im nechleku b'hashka sota im zu tzricha lishto so ena tzricha, meaning is this a, you know, suffek sota, bimelo, hadinim, hare zechayiv, shahare ledivrei ha'omer tzricha in May Sabal, Kodim Shetishta, right, Harezu Asura, right, Liabma, right, Ledivre Haomer Eina Tzricha, Himis Yavemes, V'chein Kol Kiyotze Bazet. So this is an example that the Rambam gives, as if there's a debate whether or not, there was a proper process of Kinu Yustira and Sota under those conditions. Right? What happens? There's a debate between the Talmidei Chachamim. So, and the Zakin Mamre takes a position on this matter against, the majority of Bezin Hagadol. So that would constitute a basis for Zakin Mamre. So the Kesef Mishnah, famously here, says that, quotes the Rambam, he says, he talks about some of the other cases of the Rambam, which he's okay with. The Chametz case triggers a lot of discussion. Ach kasha b'mesha kasav b'cheinim nechleku b'hashka sota v'chulei harezu asura liyavma she'ein isur hasota al yavama l'ischayv ala kares, right? V'tzorachiyu. Minale ha v'rashi pirish b'inyan acher dok v'tishkach. So this is a parallel-like issue, what's the din of Suffolk? Does the din of Suffolk Sota, Bikino Yustira, does that have, ever the ability to trigger a din of Kares? So there are Achronim who suggest, based on the Rashi, on Vav Amud Aleph, that the Rama means something like that. Could be. It also could be, that the idea of what constitutes, maybe lidei kares, has a broader, application. Again, I don't want to get into this right now, but that's the suggestion that the Meiri makes with regard to chametz and other cases. He says that, it's a mistake when the Mefarshim try to, figure out exactly how some of the cases of the Rambam can actually produce, a nafkamina, of chayve krisus or skila or chatas, etc. Because all the Rambam really means or needs is the Meiri in the end of Sanhedrin, in that sugya, all the Rambam really needs is the category of halacha is one, in which the ikar onesh, so it's a shiur, not so much in the actual consequence, as in the significance of the category. Anyways, so if you say that, then even safek sota, even if it didn't actually produce a real kares, it's still obviously something that relates to the category of private cruise. But anyway, I don't want to get into the details of that. The point is that, just like there's a whole discussion about Nefila Rishona, Nefila Shnia, and Tzara, and all these other cases, when do we trigger Eishes Ach in the context of discussions of Yibum? So too, you have this Mari Galant, and you have this Parashas Drachim, and you have this discussion regarding Suffolk Sota, both the Rashi side of it and the Rambam side of it. you know, which really, you know, are examples of this discussion. But as I said, I think there's reason to be machalic, depending on, you know, how fundamental the exclusion is, you know, and you know, the fact that, again, that there is in some cases zika and chalitza and other things, you know, would it make it so so obvious? Tani, you had a question?
I mean, Rashi is only by suffix. So
what?
I mean, Rashi presumably is only by suffix, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, good. So that is that's one thing I wanted to get out of the way to talk about. Let me talk about Yehari Gval Yavar. Was there another question? Oh, we're good. Okay, so Yehari Gval Yavar, I think Natan also brought up. I mentioned that is the that's the discussion in the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Tzadi Vav Sif Katan, you know, Chaf Aleph. So of course, you know, that is a bit tricky, as we already know. Because really there are, you know, two sides to that. One is, you know, what is it that determines, you know, Yehari Gval Yavar when it comes to arayos? You know, what level of erva or iser ishus, you know, constitutes, again, nara marasa is, you know, the paradigm case. But as we know, there's mixed evidence in the Gemaras, Sanhedrin, you know, and in Psachim, you know, and so on and so forth. And the question is, like, how limited or expansive, you know, is the Hagdara of Erva with regard to, you know, Yehari Gval Yavar? We already encountered this when we talked about Nida, right? The view of the Ritva B'Shem Hara'ah, you know, both in terms of connection to Matzilin, Benafsho, as well as the shame, erva, or is it, you know, chayve krisus? And then you have it in the other direction. Let's say you have things that are not chayve krisus, but there is a shame, you know, erva, you know, and so on. So we have this with regard to Nida a little bit, where there's a lot of discussion. And then Behema, right, where, again, there's discussion about the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, Safek, and the view of the Minchas Chinuch, you know, and so on, and numerous other cases as well. So anyways, the Minchas Chinuch, if somebody has it open, in Reish Tzadi Vav Chafal, in exactly that same piece about Behema and Nida and the connection to Matzilin, assumes that Tuma Ke'erba, you know, would qualify for Yehari Gval Yavar. But again, that is assuming that, you know, we take this, it's not just a, you know, a one-trick, you know, din, you know, which is kind of what Reb Chaim is suggesting. It's a din mesuyam b'yibum. It's assuming that, you know, it's a broader idea that is also applied to yibum, which I think makes sense, frankly. Even if you say what Reb Chaim says, maybe the primary, you know, nafkamina is with regard to Zika and Yibum, etc. Maybe you didn't need this for Yehari Gval Yavar, or maybe it's, you know, it is implicit and obvious. But if we have it, do we have it up there? Go ahead. You know, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. So then Michal Skinuch knows that he is, is speculating. He says Efshar. And he himself underscores, you know, what makes us Mechudash in terms of, you know, the absence of real kares, the tfisas kiddushin, you know, etc. You know, you could have added, you know, and even, you know, for Rabbi Akiva, possibly, you know, this doesn't produce, you know, mamzeros, etc. So this is like, you know, a very interesting question, you know, but it's a Yehari Gval Yavar question for sure, but it's also a Tuma Ke'erva question. Like, would you say, yes, you know, for you know, for the you know, for Rashi and Tosis and for the Rambam and you know, for Rambam, for most of the Rishonim, you know, where we take Tumah Ke'erva very expansively, you know, maybe there'd be a Hari Vayavar. Well, would you say the same thing for the Ravid or for the Ra'ah? Like, you know, even though they would agree that there's, you know, that the category exists and that there's a Vadai Iser, what would you say about, you know, Safek? You know, so, and what would you say about these other parallel cases, the two Boel cases and the Anusa case, with regard to Harig Vayavar, I'm asking. So, you know, it's, of course you could be Mechalek, and you could be Mechalek, you know, according to the different Rishonim, even in terms of the bigger scope of it. But as I say, the Minchas Chinuch is aware that he's inclined to take seriously Tumah Ke'erva as Yahari Balyavar. But you know, there's an acknowledgement that this is you know, somewhat mechudash. Like, what's the din of Tumah Ke'erva with regard to Matzilin? That would be an interesting question. Right? Do we apply the din of Matzilin or not? And so on. Okay. So, also, what would be the... I think I mentioned that already, about Safek Sota, what would be the din? So, yeah, all of these are applications that are very interesting in light of everything that we have discussed. By the way, this comment I made about the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Rabbi Kivager has this Ha'ara also. I think it's in Vav Yud Tes. I think he points to it. Let me see if I can find it. In the Frankel Rambam, but recently came across. One second. Yeah. If not, I'll try to find it for you.
It's in the bottom.
Yeah. It says, I am a Divrei Rabbeinu Perek Dalid Halacha Beis. Aval Sota Shemei Spala Kodim Shem. She Yashkena. So he says, "Ayin b'divrei Rabbeinu perek dalet halacha beis mihukos ma'amrim b'tzorach iyun ba'achar ha'iyun nila niyastaiti b'tzvila Rabbeinu d'vadai hasota shetzricha lahashkosa eina tam da'asur liyabim di safek erva d'shem azinsa d'imkein gam tzarasa tia safek tzaras erva elavadai d'lomikri erva klau." Could I mean the MS Beresh? One second. Sota, right? Tamacheres, right? Hodalomis Yavemas. So Rikveger is here actually saying, because of the question that the Achronim ask, I mean, for the Rambam at least, like the Rambam holds that there, we'll get to this in just a minute, that's our next point, that Safek Sota doesn't translate into Safek Tsaras. Sota. Why wouldn't you say about Tsaras? This is, of course, triggered Reb Chaim, of course, but it's a question that, you know, precedes by a lot, obviously. And that is, like, if you think Safek Sota is a Safek, it's a Safek Vadai Sota, right? That's what Safek Sota is, Safek Vadai Sota, or Vadai Nivala. So then why don't you apply Lechumra, you know, with respect to Tsara? Right? So Rabbi Kivager says, you see from there that there's no din of erva in Safek Sota. This is a little bit based on, like, the Rush. We'll see in a moment. And if there's no din of erva, so then, you know, it doesn't, you know, qualify as Safek erva. The kahu, that it's vadai eno erva, it's Safek Sota, Safek, you know, nivala be'iser, but it's not Safek erva, because the din of Tumah Ke'erva is very specific to the Vada. Right? V'kachu mi'ikar din Torah v'choletzas v'lo mitzyavenes v'mishum hachi eshlomar d'im miyavma v'it chayiv kares v'kol dimi dina osir l'liyavma hav eshesach shelo v'moko mitzvah v'tzarasa mitzyavenes kibin etzricha kalitza lo mikri tzaras erva. So he's assuming here, you know, a little bit that, you know, Parashas Drachim idea also, that there can be an Eishes Ach whenever there's an Iser Yibum, even when there is Zika, and even when there's no Safek Erba. I think what he's trying to say also, that if it was really Safek Erba, then that would exclude it in its own right. But okay. Umizeh yesh raya v'lifshot sveikot ha-mishol melech b'parashas drachim derech mitzvah secha chelek gimel v'amana l'koin godel b'na nisuin d'mina torah choletzes v'lo m'siyah v'anas im yivma im chayv kares d'yishlomar kiva d'tzricha chalitza paka mimena iser eshasach ha-im shal. Well, if yidvarenu, right, nifshot d'chayv kares, meaning those who say that because this is a Zika, as reflected by Chalitza, so there can't be an Iser Eshesach. Like, how can you have both of those things, you know, at the same time? He's saying, no, because Safek Sota is not Safek Erba. It's just an Iser, you know, Liabim. And the Iser Liabim, in his opinion, triggers the Eshesach, and that's what the Rambam meant in the Chos Mamrim, when he said that if you have a debate, you know, between the Zaken Mamre and the majority of the Besdin, which is what makes them a Zaken Mamre, you know, about the status of a woman being a Sota Safek, then, you know, Kahai Gavna, there's Kares, or it qualifies for Kares. Bahre Sota Detzricha Chalitza Midaraisa, Yafa became Chayiv Kares, right? Im Yibma, Kamosha Kasav Rabbeinu Bilchus Mamre, Bidok. So again, is it so simple? So it's not so simple at all. And then you have to look at the next one. He challenges the Mishnah Melech on his understanding of Tosas too, which is also very interesting. But you know, as I say, this is an interesting question. Yeah.
Just the point of Michalskina. Is he talking about the woman and
No, between the woman and the Baal. Presumably. He's assuming... No, so that's exactly the point. That's the other... That's what it thinks. No. I think he's assuming that when the Gemara says Tuma Ke'erva and applying that even to Yibum, he's not assuming like a B'chaim that it's a Din Misuyam, you know, B'Yibum. You know. He's assuming that it's a broad din of, you know, Tuma Ke'erva, which starts with the Baal and extends even to the... it's Mechudash that it applies even to the Yavam, even though he himself, you know, isn't in violation of an Iser. I mean, it's clear to me that Minchas Chinuch is talking about the typical Sota case, namely the relationship between the Baal and the Isha.
So there's Erva, even the Gavit, and Baal.
What?
So there's Erva, even the Gavit, and Baal.
Yeah, so he's assuming that, you know, that if Tuma Ke'erva, you know, is applying even to Yibum, then it starts with the Baal, you know, and again, that's why Reb Chaim's Ha'ara, which we, I guess, we'll have to finish with tomorrow, but Tuesday we'll finish up, just make a couple of more points about it. But Reb Chaim's idea that it's Reb Chaim put his finger on something in the sense that, like, where are the other applications in the Gemara of Tuma Ke'erva? Right, it is very striking. And because, you know, I'll talk more about it, but because Reb Chaim has a very formalistic view of both Tumas of Sota Vaday and Safek, you know, Sota Safek, you know, so for him to say, oh, it's a Din Mesuyam, you know, Be'ibom, you know, you know, sensible. Even then, I rebelled against it a little bit when I mentioned it. You know, and I still think, you still might say that this is like the only necessary, tangible, you know, application. It's hard to say that it only applies to the case of Yim. Not just because it's so rare, but just because, you know, it has to. But the way I understand it is, you don't typically need to say Tuma Ke'erva. Because, you know, there's an Iser Labal, and there's Kilkul, and there's Begida, and there's Me'ila, and all those things are good enough to carry, you know, whatever the dinim of Sota Labala, you know, is about. You know, where you need to say Tuma Ke'erva, and that's maybe what Reb Chaim means, it's a din Mesuyam B'Yibum, is like, how are you going to apply that when there's no Maisavera, when there's no Maisavera that's Noveya from, you know, specific Isurim between these two parties. Now, how are you going to get from there to disqualifying a chalos yibum slash ishus, right? Where, you know, of two different people, she can marry somebody else, you know. So the answer is oh, because there's also a shem erva. And whenever there's a shem erva, boom, that eliminates yibum. It's a din mesuyam, you know, be yibum. So instead of, I think, within Reb Chaim, in other words, it's a special gzeres hakasuv and it doesn't apply to him and it only applies, or the only time you ever really need it, you know, is for this. So then you might say, oh, well, but if you think, and it doesn't, you know, I don't have to work within Reb Chaim, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm happy to, but to tell you what I think. But what I'm saying is that Mechatz Chinuch is saying, you know, would probably say, well, even if like the most obvious or the main, you know, is with regard to Yibum, but if you assume that your Harik Vayabar, you know, is applicable only, you know, with a Shem Erva, right? You know, then that would be, you know, but he for sure is assuming that this applies to, Okay. So now what would be, as I say, you know, this would be an interesting question for the Minchas Chinuch, you know, like, would you make a distinction between, you know, the Tumah, the Lav, the Tumah, the Yaseh, the Boel, the two Boels, the Anusa, you know, what about Safek Sota? I think these would all be, like, really interesting questions, you know, for the Minchas Chinuch, you know, to address. Okay, so now let's turn our attention away from Sota Vadai and to Sota Safek a little bit. I'm going to stop in a minute because I have to run, but I want to finish this really on Tuesday, and I want to speak more about Masu Grushaso then. So as I said before, you know, the relationship between Safek Sota and Vadai Sota is part of this discussion. Like, there's a technical question about Tuma, you know, Ke'erva, you know, that Tosis raised, that the Rush, that the Mishnah Melech and others expanded, you know, again, Tosis Gimel and Tosis Yudalek, you know, for sure. I think that technical question, you know, very possibly is a fundamental, you know, conceptual question. Namely, you know, in a Dome, you know, assessing, you know, the quality of toxicity or kilkul, you know, if we're talking about, you know, something that triggers a lav as opposed to something that just triggers yaseh. And that doesn't mean it isn't tumah, but the idea that there are levels of tumah, which is what I want to say in general. But, you know, in the end of the day, this distinction between suffix sota, vade, sota, for that, you know, ends up being a very important issue in this context. So even before we start, you know, talking about, like, you know, how much of suffix sota is suffix vade sota, you know, and how much of vadai sota is, you know, resolving safek sota. Those are two ways of saying the same thing, but I'm coming from different angles. But I think you have manifestations on both sides, what I said before, which is sometimes you have safek sota dinim, you know, that seem to transcend, you know, the safek, or that are less even than the safek. Less than the safek is the example of tzara. But it's hard to know whether that's because safek sota, you know, is less than a suffix, even though it's also more than a suffix, because we say l'chumra suffix kavadai, you know, and then when do you say one and not the other, and so on? Or is it because vadai sota as a vadai, you know, like, we know for sure, sometimes when you know something for sure, let me say it this way, sometimes when you know something for sure, you know, that, you know, escalates it, you know, beyond the resolution of a suffix. Sometimes, you know, the perception, you know, that other people have, you know, is transformed, you know, by a vadai knowledge. So it's more than a resolution. In the same way that, you know, when you have svekos sometimes, and you have two, like, opposite, like, there are three categories of svekos, you could say. Sometimes there's a suffek, and, like, oh, the very fact that you're mistapek already, you know, poisons the well. It's already a status. And that, you know, has very deep roots, obviously, in suffek, you know, sota, and suffek kavadai, you know, and things of that sort. Like, oh, you know, especially if you underwent like a kinu yustira, where, you know, either as a din or as a raglayim ledavar or as a begida in its own right, like a mini begida, you know, like the Beis Halevi and the Mishnah Lamelech, or the Mishnah Lamelech and the Beis Halevi, right? Or Reb Chaim, this is a process, it's a din, or, you know, so the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes suffolk is more than a suffolk. It's already like, ooh, how can you... I mentioned the other day that the Sefer HaChinuch explains, you know, that, you know, Hashgah Sota, you know, and, you know, instead of looking at it as like, ooh, you know, that's pretty harsh, you know. Like, if it doesn't work out so well, you know, it is pretty harsh, by the way. I mean, actually. But, where the Chinuch says, like, oh, you need a resolution. You know, Ishus Shol Kedusha, like, needs a resolution, you know, for this quiet. You just can't, you know, the suffix is just not, you know, not a way to live. You know, if you take seriously, you know, the loyalty and the bond of Ishus. You know, again, similarly, something I mentioned, you know, other times, you know, the idea that, you know, Bezdin has a special role policing, you know, Ishus, that there's a special, you know, Kedusha Sisrael that is connected to Ishus. All these things are connected to this idea. One of the things I wanted to bring Zariah for that is the, you know, the fact that the Ramban says, you know, that the Isra of, you know, Kadosh and Kedesha is on Bezdin, you know, separate from, there's a separate Isra on the people, on the people who, you know, behave improperly. But for the Ramban, it's the mitzvah on Bezdin. I always like to point out that you know, maybe the pshat in, so the way the Ran seems to understand, you know, the Rashi in the very beginning of Ksuvas, Rashi in the beginning of Ksuvas, Misha says that, you know, they used to have, used to get married on a Wednesday, so that if there was any kind of, you know, question, you know, that it would be resolved very quickly. So that itself, of course, is very, feeds into this idea of the Sefer HaChinuch. But then the problem, you know, is that, you know, it seems like, you know, if there would be any question, like the physical evidence of whether she was a basula, so that would be a sfek sveka, right? You know, safek, you know, ones, safek ratzon, safek taktov, safek ein taktov, and that's what, you know, the Bali Tosis on Beis Amud Aleph and Ksuvas, you know, that's what they jump in on. They say, like, you know, if this is like a regular case, then, like, you know, what's the big deal? So it's a svek sveka. So Rashi has a line, you know, in which he seems to say that, you know, even though it's a svek sveka, you know, you need to resolve. So the Ran, explaining Rashi, says something like, you know, yeah, it's a svek sveka, but it's al bezdin, but it's like mutal al bezdin, you know, to figure this out. Meaning, you know, it's a kind of like a shmira halacha, you know, using, again, the yesod of the Ramban in the beginning of Kulin, that, you know, whenever the Torah speaks about, like, mishperes or things like that, so, you know, you really shouldn't even allow things to reach the level of a safek. Sometimes a safek is toxic. When it comes to a question of, you know, personal, you know, loyalty, you know, so a suffix can be just as bad as a vadai. So the point is that it's al bezdin, meaning what I think what the Ran was saying was, if this were just like an objective question, you know, yes or no, she's also, she's mutter, so you'd say, sfek sfek alakula. But here it's al bezdin, you know, to you know, jump in and to solve this. It's bezdin's job, you know, to the extent that they are capable of it, like to, you know, ensure, to secure, you know, the, you know, this idealistic, you know, perspective of Kedushas Ishus. And therefore, even if the Sfek Sveka, they, you know, they have, if they have a method, you know, if it's Efshel Levar, Tzorich Levar, not just because of the regular din of Sfek Sveka, maybe a regular Sfek Sveka, you would say no, you know, Ein Tzorich Levar. But here, you know, the fact that it's Mutal Al Bezdin, it's there, you know, business, and that suffix is toxic, you know, is, so that's kind of what I'm pointing out here, is that, you know, it, but it works, you know, dialectically. So the point is that suffix sota is, you know, the suffix itself is just, you know, it has a certain stature and a life of its own, and you know it, you know it's unacceptable. It needs resolution. But you know, is that true for any suffix, or is that true, you know, only because of the extra raglayim ledavar the kini ustira, or the you know the din of the kini ustira, as Reb Chaim has it, or the begida, you know, of the Mishnah Lamelech Sa'ara and the Beis Halevi. So it's actually very interesting just to note that the Taz has a Ha'ara also in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel, where he says, he just points out that the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, when they deal with these dinim, he says they don't, and they, when they deal with the Safek Sota, he says they don't distinguish between Safek, you know, Sota with Kinu Yustira and Safek Zinsa. They use the language of Safek Zinsa. Do I have that here? They don't always have the Taz in Eben Ezer, do they? Have Kuf Ayin Gimel. Well, this one doesn't have it. Okay, I think I have it on my phone. So I think it's again. So I think it's just a very interesting issue. One second. I don't know where these things disappear. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not it. Oh, I do have it. Or do I? Yes. Not the best. Okay. El Dimaod Tamua Drabeno Hatur Vishukanar Kosvu Stam Safek Zinsa, that there's no Yibum but there is Kalitza. De'ein Misyavemes Ella, I think I'm guessing Chaletzes. I don't know why I cut off the things here. Demashma filu bin ichnesa ima laseser belokinu stira tchila. V'zeh something. Debeli kinu stira tchila ena sira klala bala. V'yemes misyavemes. V'chein kasav rashi v'hedja dafke b'safek sota shayu shom raglayim l'davar machmas kinui ustira dafka v'im nomar d'rabbeinu v'hatur niskaving lios kinui ustira t'chila, then they should have said it. It says the Rambam says it, but they didn't bother saying it. V'yesh chas v'shalom michshol b'dvarav, right, she svurim lomar afilu below kinui ustira t'chila v'zeinu. Kenirli baror lahalacha lemaisa debelok kini ustira tchila, right? V'yesh suffik shizinsa vaday misyavemes v'afil lebala shari hoisa. So this is the ha'ara of the Taz. It could be just making, you know, much of. Well, he's not sure. Basically says, you know, if they mean it, he's saying it's tamua, because then you have a situation where she's not asura lebala, but she would be asura liyavam. Is such a thing conceivable? Sure, such a thing is conceivable. No, let me make it clear. Such a thing is conceivable, but it doesn't mean it isn't a good question. Right. But is such a thing conceivable? Sure, that's essentially what we encountered, you know, in the Ramban's Ha'ara. Like the Ramban was saying, you know, yesh, you know, hadavar tzarech talmud, like how do you know, that er tumah ke'erva. And again, this maybe, you know, feeds Reb Chaim's idea. How do you know Tuma Ke'erva doesn't mean, you know, that the Ishus is Paka? How do you know it means that the Yibum, you know, is doesn't have a Zika? Like, is Yibum, is it obvious that the standards of Yibum are more chamor, you know, than the continuation of the Ishus? So again, I think I understand that, for sure. You could have gone either way on that question. I just think, yeah. You can go either way on that question. Meaning, yeah, maybe it is. So here also, I just, you know, if the Taz's critique is correct, so that's very astonishing, right, that even a case where there's no kinu istira, but there's safek zinsa, there would be an exclusion of yibum, right, alongside the need for chalitza. So you have a situation where, again, this isn't the Ramban. The Ramban is saying the ishus continues, but there's no zika liyibum. That's the Ramban. You know, very fascinating, says the Ramban. And the Taz is saying, like, there's a heter isha labala, but there's no yibum. I can conceive of that.
Where would it come from, though?
What?
Where would it come from? The whole sugya and sota presupposes an isha.
So again, I guess you'd have to assume some sort of, again, tuma. I mean, not the tuma of Adai, but maybe b'chalal, the kinu, some dinim of kinu stira, the hashka'ah, and maybe the isra labal and truma and those things. But maybe b'chalal that is still suffering. I mean, where does it come from in the Gemara, right? No, it's a strong question. I'm not making light of it. But what I am saying is, there's also, really a suffix. In addition to what's missing here is the raglayim, the davar, for those rishonim. Bali Tosis emphasized that a lot. The more limited begida, of the Mishnah Malach and the Beis Halevi, and the din, if you want to call it that, of Kini Ostira, the Mechayev of Kini Ostira of Reb Chaim. But there's still something, which is why I introduced this with my Ha'ara on the Ran, about Svek Sveka. There's still something, and that is there's still a poison, by virtue of the fact that there's an objective suffix, even if that isn't enough to exclude, heter isha labala, but the idea that, the higher standard of Yibum, at least for the Yibum, might exclude that. So where does it come from? It's bichlal, in the same way that we were saying that, that maybe Anusa, isn't a full, sota, but it's enough, for certain dinim, and then you have to figure out what is it enough, for. So here you have the suffake in the sense that, I'm sorry, Josh?
Is something you can register, though, with cheese mazana, kachas bailach, there's no isser, at least in the Ramban's case, there's still, a chalos in the ishas. It just doesn't...
Yeah, no, I understand. It's a bigger kid. Well, that's why the Taz doesn't like it at all. Right. I'm just saying, if he's right, that if you assume that he's right about... This is how he understands the Torah in Shulchan Aruch, and he's asking...
I'm saying, even if you don't have a mucker, which is Nathan's question a little bit. What about the fact that...
No, that's what Nathan was asking. Where's the makar? So my answer is that this is part of the implicit... I mean, in every sota, there's suffix zinsa. There's also kinu yistira and all those other things. So depending on how you understand... So again, Reb Chaim, we'll stop in a minute, but Reb Chaim takes a very hard stance on this because Reb Chaim's trying to explain, on the one hand... and this is very typical, that suffek sota is a din, it's a process, it's a mechayev in its own right. Right? On the other hand, he's saying, but why, and that, creates chumras. But he's also trying to explain that it creates kulas, meaning you're not even going to treat it like a suffek kevadai, there's no suffek vadai erva here. Why not? So Reb Chaim's answer to why not is, because, from a chazaka point of view, we don't think that, that stira or yichud, let's say, alone, is oser. Now, why is that? Is that because there's no raglai in the davar? Or is that because it's also a way of protecting ishus? Because the protection of ishus, from all of this, again, it's very dialectical. On the one hand, we don't want every little suffix, to torpedo. We want people to have, faith in their partner, and every paranoid suspicion, paranoia can destroy a relationship, any relationship, certainly a marital relationship. And it does. It's documented all the time. But you don't want to encourage that, right? So with you're always walking like a very fine line, you know, between. So Rav Chaim's idea is, oh, objectively speaking, like if you were just to, you know, alpidin, you know, this isn't safek, you know, isa. Like, you know, that yichud is not a chazaka that undercuts, that creates an iser, you know, labala. You know, end of story. However, you know, that, again, is that because, like, objectively? Or is that because, you know, that's also kind of a protection, you know, of the ishus from paranoia? You understand what I'm saying? Once you have kinus tira, so again, for a chayim, that's like, oh, that's a din. So you go from one extreme to the other. And that's why anything outside of what kinu yustira creates in terms of the shame sota, right, any is going to be lakula. The kinu yustira is a mechayiv in its own right, and it's a kumra. But if there, you know, there still remains a safek, and it's not really safek lahachmir at all, because, like, why should we, you know? You know, the yichud, you know, alone is not, you know, doesn't undermine, you know, enough, either practically or halachically, you know, strategically, protectively, right? So, but if you don't hold that way, that's Rav Chaim, and he has a very clear shita, but it's a very legal, very formal understanding, you know. But if you don't hold that way, so, you know, suffix in sub, again, may not be enough, or alpidin. It's not, you know, we don't allow that to be oser, you know, but, it, you know, part of, I mean, for Rav Chaim, suffix in sub isn't even really, except for technically, you know, it's like, it's not implicit in the, it's kini ustira, it's a process of kini ustira, which is oser, you know. But for others, you know, if the kinyan stirah adds raglayim ledavar, but that doesn't mean that you don't need the initial suffek is dismissed. It just isn't enough. But if there's some chalos to it, maybe you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have the raglayim ledavar with such impact, you know, if there wasn't something toxic already about the suffek. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't paskin like this Taz, don't get me wrong. I mean, the Taz is dismissing it. He's just saying it's strange that, again, maybe the answer is that, you know, again, he thinks that the Torah and Shulchan Aruch actually think that Safek Zinsa is excluded from Yibum. If that is true, he doesn't like it. He's not saying, okay, b'di'eved, I follow them. He's just saying, I think it's Tamua Bioter, but I think that. If you put weight on his read, then, like, could that ever be? The answer is yes. And that's how I'm trying to explain. Okay? The other possibility, you know, is, oh, it's just a bad formulation. Okay? Or, I think there's something in between. And that is, of course, we're talking about Kini Ustira. But unlike, let's say, Rav Chaim, you know, what they're trying to say is that the yisod, in the end of the day, even when you need kini ustira, is safek zinsa. Just that you need a more substantial safek zinsa. Again, a raglayim ledavar if you want, or a mini begida. But remember, even the mini begida, you know, is a mechayev unto itself, unless the Ribbono Shel Olam gets you off the hook. Because the whole way that you look at hashkah sota has to be different once you're taking that perspective. In other words, if it's all raglayim ledavar, and we're not, you know, so now we think sufficiently, you know, that she betrayed him, so then the hashkah sota is like still the ultimate raya, you know, that she's innocent, you know, and that all makes total sense from that, you know, standpoint. But if you take the view, you know, that this is a mini begida and it stands in its own right, you know, then like, so what does hashkah sota help you? And if you hold like Rav Chaim that kini ustira is a mechayiv in its own right, you have to say something like this too for him, but he's just not translating it, which is, I think, very interesting and characteristic. You know, he's not doing what the Mishnah Melech, or even, you know, the father of the Beis Halevi did. But whatever. But then the question is, like, so what's Hashgacha Sota going to teach you? There still was Kini Ustira, right? Or there still was, Stira after Kinui, which is a Begida, right? So the answer is that's a Matir. That's a special, there are Baruch Shalom swooping in and supernaturally, saying, in this case, we're not osering, based on Kini Ustira or the mini Begida, right? So that's a whole different perspective. So what I'm saying is, maybe what the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, even if the Tur and Shulchan Aruch didn't mean what the Taz thought he meant, maybe what they were saying was, that you need Kinu Yastira, but in the end of the day, the Kinu Yastira is building up the Safek Zinsa. And it's Midin Safek Zinsa, and that's why there's an Isur Yibum, not because of the shame necessarily Kinui Ustira or even the mini Begida. Understand? Okay. So that is in terms of the Taz. But getting back to the Safek, so this is the question, and it affects several things. So we'll just start with the problem that Rabbi Kivager mentions that Reb Chaim's, as I say, is triggered by, and that the Rishonim do address, which is, why don't we say Safek Sota, especially since we're saying Safek Sota L'chumra, and especially since, again, Taz's reading of the Taz and Shulchan Aruch aside, we're talking about a case of Kinu Stira and so on. So, why don't we say that on, in terms of Yibum, that, that Sara is in this case Safek, Erva, and therefore excluded from Yibum, even if it's included in Chalitza. Right, that's the problem. So again, that's what triggers Reb Chaim to say that Safek Sota isn't a real Safek, even though it's more, but it's also less. And that, it's not Safek, it's not correct to say that Safek Sota is Safek Sota Vadai, or Safek Sota Zera. But he says it that way. The Rush, zeroing in on, this whole Tosos, there's the Tumah of the Aseh and the Tumah of the Lav. We'll just finish with the Rush for today, and then we'll pick up with some of the implications of it. The Rush says, if anybody have language of the right, have it, Uriel? Oh, I brought the wrong Masechta. Brachos. Yeah. Right? But why is Brachos on my desk? It's always on my desk.
The summer is coming up.
But also for, we try to learn Brachos on Tuesday. Yeah. Okay, so I don't have the Rush. Oh, I have it on my phone again. Big, this one I can do. Uriel, you have it?
Which piece in there?
So the Rush was troubled by this as well. Again, for Tosos, it's clear, that Tosos thinks that Sota is Safek, Safek Kivadai Lechumra, right? And, but not Lekula. And that's why Tosos is of the opinion. That's Tosos on Yod Aleph Omid Aleph. We'll read it next time very quickly. But that's why Tosis is of the opinion that the chalitza of Safek Sota is a din Safek, not a din Vada. Right? And that Tosis differs from the Rashba, which we'll look at next time as well, and Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Rashba says that the chalitza of the Safek Sota is a din Vadai. Okay? Very important argument. So that's one interesting argument. The other interesting argument is this question of why don't you say Tsaras Safek Sota L'chumra, that there's Chalitza, but no Yibum. Like, why don't you say it? The Rambam clearly excludes that. Yeah. So what does the Rush say about that, Uriel?
The
Aleph Dalet?
Yeah, should I start?
Yeah, if you don't mind. Okay. And then we'll finish with that today, and then we'll...
Yes. Amar Bihuda Amarav.
Yeah, you can do that quickly if you want. Yeah, go ahead.
Sarasatasura, my time at Muksubakarayos.
Lav dafka asura, da akme chalisa p'tura. Kedimuchach, akla shmaita, de parak misota, de rabbanan, misota safek, misota de rabbanan, misota safek. V'chein perash rashi, v'dafka sota vadai, abo sota safek, bai chalitza, akesnan, v'meiz chulatzas v'lo misya v'emes, v'af agav du sota safek siv nami tama, amaskinan l'kaman, de krav, de v'nistra v'hinitma, v'nivala vadai ayri, v'lo b'sota safek.
That's the general view of Balitzis, that the din of tuma doesn't apply to suffix sota at all. Right, that's one view in Tosis. Let's say the initial view of Bali Tosis on Yud Aleph from an Aleph and in Sota, correct?
Yeah.
And that's very important, again, especially in, you know, distinguishing between Suffix Sota and Vade Sota on a qualitative level. Okay, go ahead.
V'im tomar hari nechnas eimo l'seser d'snan asura l'vita v'asura l'achol v'truma.
This is also part of Tosis on Yud Aleph. Right? How can you get these things even in Suffix Sota if it isn't midin toma? So this so far is exactly like Tartosis, meaning it's a din in Safek Kevadai. So far Tosis, this the Rosh is holding, you know, very tightly to the idea that Tumah Ke'erva is only in Vadai. The reason that we get some expressions of Tumah Ke'erva is because Safek Sota is Safek Vadai Sota. And Safek Vadai Sota is Safek Tumah, and therefore we have to be Machmir. So again, the chiddush of Safek Sota so far, you know, is that we're machmir in this Safek more than we usually are. But it's betoras Safek of a Vadai. I mean, it's both a Safek, not a Vadai, but a Safek of the Vadai, if you understand what I mean. As opposed to saying, you know, it's not a Safek Vadai, it's a din b'fnei atzmo. Okay, keep going.
V'im tomar, im kein, aloti bai chalitza kevadai.
You need chalitza, right? Because it remains a suffix, right. Even though it's kevadai l'chumra. That's against the Rajba. But this is all in our printed Tosas so far. Yeah, go on.
V'lahaka l'potor min ha-chalitza. U'mi u'kasha ha-depar chalav perakam v'tisota, v'tisyavim yivumi. V'nitcha kashas limso tam lama inim siyabemes.
And if you really hold... That it's a safek vadai, right? Then it should be obvious why there's no yibam, even b'tara safek. That's what Tosis asks, and that Tosis leaves b'tara chiyum. That's how our Tosis ends off. But the Rosh doesn't end there. Go ahead.
B'amai, hamrinan lahachmer avinan lakavadai. B'yishlomar, dahada hamrinan tumma ksiv bakarayos, hainu dafka sota vadai, dekhsiv ba tumma b'lashon mav, kihichi dekhsiv gabe arayos. Abel so the suffix of Toma di da blashon asay af al gab da srin misham suffix Toma lo chashev Toma di da I feel like a suffix erva hilchach parak shaper of kisabe mitumi.
So what is he saying?
So he's saying that
we don't have an artosis. Right. This is the Rosh's edition.
But we have part of it in Tosis on Daf Gimel.
Yeah, and Tosis makes reference, you know, to he says a few. He says the asay the lab. Right. It'll be helpful. But Tosis doesn't use that. To answer the Yibum question.
Right?
It's almost as if, okay, that's all fine and good, but it's not going to help me with the Yibum question. The Rosh is applying it to the you know, when the Gemara said, you know, maybe it could be the Yibum. So that what that shows is that, you know, while Tosis is weighing this, and again, that was part of the whole Mishnah Melech discussion and so on and so forth, right? You know, that there's a qualitative difference between the two. You know, it doesn't go as far as the Rosh is understanding it. For the Rosh, what he's really saying is that Tumah Ke'erva, you know, is a din only in Vadai. And not even the Torah Safek, there's no Safek Vadai. In a way, the Rosh is explaining, you know, why, I'm saying in light of the Rosh, we can explain Reb Chaim's problem, right? Namely, there's no Safek tzara b'yibum, because there's vadai no tuma ke'erva, even though there is tuma. Correct? Except that, you know, while Rab Chaim does, like, has a two-pronged, again, we'll look inside just a little bit to finish this on Tuesday. Rab Chaim has, like, a two-pronged, you know, perspective. One is to, you know, downgrade, you know, Safek Sota into less than a Safek, because Yichud doesn't really have the capacity to be Oser even be Safek, if not for the special dinim. You know, and therefore, to say that Vadai Sota, and that's where the Din Mesuyam of Yibum comes into play. The Din of Tuma Ke'erva is very limited and is mostly an expression, or maybe fully an expression only, of Yibum. Again, I thought there were two ways to understand it. I'm more comfortable with one, but I'm not sure which one it means. Right? And there's not a Suffolk Vadai, because there's not a real Suffolk here. Correct? That's not what the Rush is saying. The Rush is really saying half of what Reb Chaim is saying, but in a little bit of a different way. He's not saying necessarily it's a Din Mesuyam and Yibum. What he is saying is that Tuma Kevadai, Tuma Ke'erva, is only in Vadai. But what that means for the Rush, which doesn't necessarily mean for Tosvos, is that by definition, right, the Safek, you know, isn't Safek Vadai. Because the Vadai here is an added halacha. It's not an application. So what that means is that, I think what it means for the Rush is that sometimes, and that's what I was referring to before, sometimes knowledge that something is so, is Vadai, isn't just the resolution of a suffix. It has its own significance in terms of the stature, you know, of, it's not just the resolution, we're not sure, and now we know. Right. The fact that we know Bavadai, right, you know, catapults, you know, this Isser. Like, when it was Besafek, you know, it was only a scenario, so even, like, imputing, you know, that, you know, resolution, you know, it's kind of hedged by, you know, the other possibility. But when you know something to be true, Bevadai, right, then it's like so much more devastating. It has like a, you know, a life of its own. That's how I understand the Rush. So the Rush is saying the din of Tuma Ke'erva, you know, is only in Vadai. It's not in, you can't calculate it as a Safek, because there's always the other hedge, which is so ironic in Safek Sota, because, as I said before, you know, the Safek Lahachmir itself may be kind of an expression of something similar, but on a Safek level, like, ooh, we even have a Safek, even that's toxic. Even that's treated like a Vadai. But the Vadai, for the same reason that the Safek is treated like a Vadai, in a way, it didn't have to be this way, the Vadai is even more than a Vadai, if you understand what I mean. That's for the Rush. So you get the same effect, meaning if the Rush were right for the Rambam, that would explain why Safek Sota doesn't affect Sara Legabe Yibum, right? You know, this Reb Chaim has a different take on it, but it isn't, you know, it's also based on, you know, Sota Vadai, you know, having, you know, a different legal status, and Safek Sota, you know, having a very complex dialectical status. But it's different. Reb Chaim's solution and the Rush's solution are different. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
How much is this based on, like, the general conceptions of Sveiko, of, like, Safek versus Vadai, and how much of this is like, the Rush really pegging on, like, the way that the Psukim play? Well, the way the Psukim play out here.
So that's a great question. Again, it's clear that, you know, on the one hand, there's no simple answer to that question, sadly. Or not. I don't know. But what I mean by that is, because on the one hand, there would have been, you know, good reason to think that the din of Safek Sota, Vadai Sota, is a special parsha in its own right. You know, again, the Tumma part, for sure. You know, the very category of kinu yastira, you know, and so on. Raglaim ledavar, you know, safek, you know, is already talk. All these things. The tricky part of it is that it ends up being also the paradigm for the din of safek tuma, you know, birshus hayachid, you know, tame, which, you know, if it's to the extent the daya that thinks that it's based on sota, and again, this is something that troubles already the Baal Yad. Say, even though there's no raglayim ledavar and there's no mini begida, you don't have any of these, and there's no, like, you know, process like kinu yustira, you know, that applies in parallel to safek tuma brishas hayachid generally. And the Bali Tosas already are troubled by that. I mean, Rashi's already troubled by that, you know, in different places. Yet, you know, you have that. So that kind of universalizes it. Now, it doesn't make it into a universal safek like the regular din of sfeikos, but at least it universalizes it in terms of safek tuma. And again, if you want to say that tuma gets you to the whole shmira issue, and therefore, you know, we're just more, you know, just the suffix itself, I think you have to say some of those things. And again, then the argument between the Rambam and Bali Tosfos, the way Reb Chaim understands it, in, you know, Tosfos and Nazir and Tosfos and Sota and Tosfos all around, you know, being that, you know, for the Rambam, it's like a din, suffix tuma brishos hayakid, even broadly, you know, being tameh. But the suffix remains. You know, and, you know, therefore can have different, doesn't necessarily have malchus, all these things, etc. Whereas for Bali Tosfos, it's a projection. Like, you know, for whatever the reason of the din, what we're saying in Safek Tumah Brishus Hayachid Tameh is that until we know otherwise, you know, we're projecting that the resolution, you know, is Tameh. But, you know, you are still missing, you know, so there is an overlap, you know, between that and Sota, but there are still elements of Sota that are very unique. So it's got. Okay, we'll stop here. But of course, the question of Chalitza similarly, meaning when the Rajba says that Safek Sota, you know, there's Vadai Chalitza, and that it's not Midin Safek, well, he also compares it to Masu Grishaso. We'll get to the Rajba. Whereas the Bali Tosas are very consistent. They're saying, listen, Safek Sota is a special din, but it's a special din that's based on the raglayim ledavar, you know, the projected resolution, you know, etc. So it is a safek; it's not a badai, you know. But for the Rambam, you know, and for the Rajba, and for maybe for the, well, the Rosh is going in terms of you know, tuma keerva, not necessarily the other direction. But, you know, even the safek sota itself might be a din. And for Reb Chaim's reading, as I said, it's a din, and therefore it's vadai, but as a resolution or as a reconstruction of what took place, in a way, you know, it's less than a safek. Because you really don't have the means, you know, to be osar misafek here. So therefore it's kulo a din. So, you know, when it applies, it applies. And even then, it might be short of the vadai, but it applies as a din in its own right, its own vadai. The vadai of safek sota, or of the process of kinyu stira. But, you know, where you're looking for, you know, treating it as a regular safek, you know, it's less. So, very fascinating issue. Okay, so we'll try to finish this and then move on. I want to speak more about some of the cases in the Gemara, D.E. and whatever, very quickly in light of that, in light of these things. And then Masa Grishaso, I'll probably give you one more answer. What's the...